The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
As today is the celebrated day of Veterans Day, November 10th, we're going to give you a little history later on about the Veterans Day and what used to be called Armistice Day. But I want to thank you for listening to Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark on America's Web Radio, and let's get right into my favorite part of the show. We're going to hit it now with Rhyme Time. When war is at your door, can we still seek peace by the book? The lack of severe world condemnation of October 7th attack, humanity should have been shook. But instead, the world took the side of a terrorist and brutal attacker. This is what happens when you have, in the White House, not a leader, but a slacker. Why would this be allowed in America right now? We must, to violent visa holders in this country now, say ciao. If we cannot stand on the side of righteous conduct, then the only thing to call that is, you stand with those who took hostages, killed babies they did abduct. In a world where chaos reigns and the swords of war clash, when war has broken down your door, will you call for a ceasefire or the enemy to smash? The drums of battle on October 7th did start, the cannon's fierce blast. We did not yearn for the fighting, but now the time for Hamas has passed. When blood runs cold and tears filled the night, in the darkest hour, in the harshest fight, when the pain is too much to bear or to release, will you dare stand and seek Hamas? Be gone and then hostility to cease. From the midst of conflict and pain, when war has shattered all that's held dear, there was peace on October 6th. So did peace break through and cause the fear? When war has broken your door, choose a weapon and get in the fight and be the beacon of hope. You need to be righteous and set things right. In the midst of battle where cannons roar, a question arises that's not been explored. Why would you call for a pause for days only to help Hamas they started? When only the voices for ceasefire to Israel, after what happened, humanity, they have departed. The clash of steel, the rattle of guns, in the chaos of war where hopelessness runs, amid the smoky haze and the deafening cries, why now would you dare to suggest a path, any type of compromise? For Hamas, in the heat of the relentless terrorist attack and fight, sought brutality. They cared not for humanity. This was not right. But the world seemed divided, torn by the horrific strife, and the calls for Israel to surrender, after what Hamas did, cut like a knife. In the shadows of the dead bodies of babies in Israel, the wounded and the tired, the idiot voices from the UN for peace were initially admired. For there in the midst of destruction, dismembered bodies, hostages in pain, the yearning for peace from Israel before October 7th was a universally shared aim. Let us remember from the Hamas terrorist attack a lesson of war, that peace is now not possible. Let Israel do the task. They're righteous now. Hamas cannot exist no more. Though Hamas started with a inhumane terrorist attack, in the end, Israel must eradicate them. They cannot again come back. After Pearl Harbor, a day of infamy, in the wake of destruction and tragedy, would America have listened to calls for surrender or peace? Our nation's collective conscience, without unconditional surrender, there could be no stop, no cease. The echoes of bombs and the fires as a result that burn, the U.S. was a nation united with a great anger and concern. In the face of such aggression, our resolve so fierce, would the call for a surrender or peace ever pierce? In the heart of that moment with war on the shore, what would diplomacy's voice have any rapport? The drums of conflict would surely drown out the pleas as the nation stood firm in its time of unease. For history shows in the face of such brutality and pain, the call for surrender would go unheeded. It's hard to sustain. But in the aftermath, as the dust eventually starts to clear, the quest for true peace in the region is what we should hold dear. So after Pearl Harbor and the fateful morn, the calls for a path of a surrender, not even considered, would that be torn? The heat of the battle, with great courage we unleashed, America chose to fight, but still, peace was sought after two nuclear bombs were dropped and we continued what we would not be unleashed. If one side laid down their weapons in the midst of the fight, what would happen to the other side in the absence of the night? In that moment, clarity would shine, revealing truth would side. The righteous from the evil, in that decision's time, is the advantage they seek and hide. For those who chose to cease the fray, to put their weapons down, would seek a peaceful path ahead, to heal on common ground. But if the other side pressed on with violence undenied, the world would see the evil of Hamas there, where darkness did reside. Yet sometimes it's not so clear the lines of wrong and right, for the conflict's web is complex, a tangled, endless fight. In that end, it's in the heart and mind and choices we abide, that we can judge the righteousness or where evil hides. So let us strive for peace and hope in times of tumultuous divide, for laying down our weapons shows the strength of the righteous side. But in the end, the eradication of evil must be the goal for our side, to ensure the path we go down is on the side of good, and it is maintained worldwide. Has the Lord gone on vacation? A question many ask. As we witness the world's turmoil and arduous, daunting task, does divine absence explain the chaos and confusion that engulfs our nation and the world, stirring uncertainty and delusion? In times of trials and tribulations, when faith is put to the test, some ponder if God still is watching and if he cares for the distressed. But let's delve into this notion, explore with open hearts, to seek the answers we may find in life's complex, endless arts. For if God is on vacation, does it mean absence or neglect? Or could it be a lesson, a test of what we've come to expect? In the midst of our despair, does the divine presence hide? Or does it challenge us to rise, to bridge the chasm wide? Let's contemplate the question through verse and in rhyme, to understand the complexity of our present place and time. For the world is but a burning canvas painted by our hand. Our choices shape its destiny in every grain of sand. The Lord, some say, takes a step back to let humanity decide, to face the consequences and on our own confide. In the realms of free will where our choices intertwine, we build a world of love or hate, of unity or decline. Does the Lord go on vacation or are we free to choose the path of peace and harmony or one of pain and the inhumanity we bruise? The answers perhaps lies within the essence of our soul, to be the force of good and light or destruction, which is our ultimate life's goal. In the midst of tumultuous times, the world's chaotic dance, we search for meaning and for hope in every daily circumstance. Yet God's design, mysterious and profound, remains unseen. As we navigate the turbulent sea, our faith and purpose is not so keen. For in our history, we've seen both the light and the dark, in the depths of human suffering and the resilience. Where is that spark? Some believe God's watching while others see a void. But in our hearts, the answers lie in choices we've employed. The world may seem irrational as we've tossed by the tide. But within our actions, we can find the truth, our faith and reason bide. If the Lord has gone on vacation, it's for us to realize that our hands, we hold the power to kill or heal and harmonize. In the realm of human nature where love and hatred dwell, we have the choice to create a heaven or where we see now a living hell. So can we seek refuge in divine absence or retreat? Should we embrace the challenge in our time, in every joy and defeat? For the Lord's presence, some may argue, lies in love we should share, but not in acts of brutality, lack of compassion in the burdens that we bear. If God has stepped away, can we true hearts fill the void with empathy and understanding by virtues unalloyed? In this vast and wondrous world where contradictions continue to reign, the Lord's intention, some may say, is to test the strength of us to endure pain. To remind us of our purpose, do we serve with grace and might? To be in the light in darkness or to make wrong things right? So has the Lord gone on vacation or is the question moot? The answer we may find lies within our own pursuit. In the choices we make each day and the chaos we now create and give, we must try to discover any divine essence, find a reason. Should we live? The stitches of the American fabric once so tightly sewn are unraveling before our eyes, a tale now widely known. A nation born of ideals, fully united in its aim, now faces challenges and strains, as if caught in a shifting evil game. The united purpose that once stood firm and true seems threatened by division that continues to accrue. The Looney Tunes on campuses, voices loud and brash, contribute to the turmoil in our societal clash. In institutions of learning where knowledge should have prevailed, debate and discourse, not hostility, the young society right now has failed. But the echoes of dissent at times grow harsh and shrill, as if reason's been lost to anger, and civility its power, sanity has stood still. The fostering of lies a troubling ongoing trend, as misinformation spreads on which some useful campless idiots depend. For truth becomes a victim in the battles of the day, while we search for common ground, where fiction, the mental morons, do sway. The American fabric, once a symbol of our strength, now wears the scars of battle fought on each and every length. From the halls of Congress to the streets where the people tread, the fractures seem to deepen as discord's roots are spread. Now in the world in total despair, for no hope now remains alive. Without America leading, there is no longer any goal for the world to strive. To heal the torn, wounded fabric, we need compassion as our goal, as our guide. For a single unity and purpose, we can never let that subside. The Looney Tunes on campuses with their fervent cries may represent extremes, but they don't see facts and no compromise. The entirety of a nation so diverse and wide, in the quest of understanding, there's a path on which evil will hide. Universities and education must be a place where ideas take flight, where students learn to think and explore, not when they walk on campuses have to fight. We have forgotten the values of respect and grace. In the midst of hate and violent protests, universities must be a safe space. The fostering of lies, its challenge we must face. In a world where truth is precious, truth has lost its crucial sacred space. To seek out facts and knowledge, to question and to learn, from the light of truth, the fabric can be sown and again be firm. The American fabric of unity and dreams has no place for hate. It is woven through the ages by countless diverse people. It is now too late. Through trials and tribulations, it's been tested, torn, and now frayed. But can it be restored? When the new president, we must find a better way it's made. We must remember that our purpose used to lie in our unity, in the shared ideas and values that set our spirits free and opportunity. To weave a strong fabric that stands the test of time, and let the world behold the promise. We once were so sublime. The stitches of the American fabric, though frayed at the seams, can be restored, or can it be restored and strengthened, fulfilling once again our shared dreams? For in this land of liberty, with diverse voices strong and wise, we'll mend the fabric of our nation. We must stop all this crap and stop the lies. The treatment of veterans, a topic of concern. In American cities, there's much we must discern. For those who've served their country with valor and with pride deserve respect and honor as they journey through life's tide. But why, some may ask, are veterans overlooked? While the plight of the illegal aliens often has priority, a different outlook. The answers are complex and the reasons multifaceted too. But in a nation filled with challenges, there's no excuse for this. Just more poo. Veterans brave and strong have faced the horrors of war, returning with scars both seen and unseen, from battles in foreign lands, near and far. Some struggle to access the care they truly need, a system strained, a bureaucratic, where services that they should be getting may impede. Illegal aliens get moved to the head of the line straight away. Their plight touches hearts, but their struggles should not be ahead of our veterans. This must not be the way. In cities across the nations, veterans' policies and illegals' policies are so strange. But it's crucial to remember, veterans serve this country. They must be a priority. This must immediately change. It's not a matter of choosing one group over another, but rather it's about making our veterans a priority, taking care of our brother. For veterans who serve must be first in line. Immigrants who came here illegally must be second. This concept must shine. Let's strive to take care of our veterans where compassion takes the lead, to support our veterans' needs and fulfill America's promise and our creed. In American cities, there is no excuse to let our veterans down. Were they first and they cared for? This concept must be profound. Why did we let quitters lead the way? And their voices echo night and day. Generations of America who gave up the fight seem to dominate the discourse, blocking the light. We allowed them to rise to take center stage. Their cynicism and apathy cause outrage. Yet we must look within at the choices we've made. For our actions, this ascent was paved. Did we become complacent and let our passions wane as we handed the reins to those who'd rather just complain? In a world of instant gratification and self-serving ways, perhaps we lost sight of the cost of the price we have to eventually pay. The quitters now loud seem to thrive on the noise, the negative outlooks they often deploy. But let's not forget the power we possess to shape our own destiny to address and redress. For the loudest voices in America need not define the course we're set to follow as a nation that's aligned. It's time for a change to rekindle the flame and take back the narrative, conservatives to rise and reclaim. To allow a generation of quitters to take the lead was a choice we all made in a thought and in a deed. But it's not too late to shift the course to change the game and let a collective voice in unity, America's pride, we can reclaim. Let's rekindle the spirit and that once burned so bright and ensure that the future is one of hope and light. For the power to decide it rests within our hands, to chart a new direction as a united, stronger band. Our politicians on the grand stage they stand, yet it often seems they're not lending a hand to find common ground and work together. Instead, they talk at each other. It's as if they were in stormy weather. We sent them to represent us with voices loud and strong, to do our business right, now to right all the wrong. But sometimes it appears they've lost their way, putting personal interests before the public say. In the chambers of power where decisions are made, we hope for collaboration, not this charade. For it's our concerns they should heed and cherish, to address our needs, not their interests to embellish. These people, businesses, that's the solemn duty, to serve the public with honor and beauty. Yet too often it seems there is a huge partisan divide, leaving us wondering if our needs are just cast aside. Let us remind our leaders of their noble role to work together to make the nation a whole. For in unity and purpose, not chaos, our strength does exist. In serving the people's needs, our leaders, they must persist. Let's call for change, for dialogue and some respect, for politicians now to remember the oath they've kept. We sent them to represent us to make our voices heard, but to the people's business first as the highest word. So ending rhyme time this week, just let Iran keep striking our bases again and have our soldiers feel the pain. Some that this administration is always late to the war game. It's clear Iran keeps striking and injuring our soldiers without a care in the world. Time to make Iran glow in the dark with the American flag there unfurled. Same thing Democrats do in the criminal justice system. Well, except for Trump. We need to get some sanity back in our defense capability before we are the chump. As Bush said, I'm not going to fire a $2 million missile up a camel's butt, but rather this administration took out an unmanned tent and a hut. Hardly the message you want to send. But this is Joe's problem. From reality detached, our defense policy we must amend. Bomb what counts. Take out a general of Iran or two. Send the correct deterrence. This word, this administration, doesn't get. It's true. So now on to the main show. You don't want to miss it, not one bit. It's history in the making, and you might learn some things, I must admit. So, at the beginning, it's always something, right? It's always something. So today is, I'll give you a little bit of a history day. You know, sometimes I do this, sometimes I don't, but every once in a while I think we have to look at a little bit of history. So this day that we're celebrating today is called, well, used to be called Armistice Day. The Treaty of Versailles was signed on June 28, 1919, making the official end of World War I. Nonetheless, the Armistice Day of November 11, 1918, it remained in the public imagination somehow as of the date that marked the end of the conflict. But strangely enough, Back in November of 1919, the U.S. President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed November 11th as the first commemorative Armistice Day. And that on November 11th, 1921, was an unidentified American soldier killed in the war was buried at Arlington National Cemetery near Washington, D.C. On the same day the previous year, unidentified soldiers were laid to rest at Westminster Abbey in London and in the Arc de Triomphe in France. That word's probably just got butchered, but did you know red poppies are a symbol of World War I from their appearance in the beloved poem In Flanders Field by John McCrae? Are sold in the United States and Canada, United Kingdom, and on Remembrance Day to raise money for veterans, or worn as a lapel as a tribute. So here we go with the history lesson. June 4th, 1926, Congress passed a resolution that the recurring anniversary, November 11, 1918, should be commemorated with a thanksgiving and prayer, an exercise designed to perpetrate peace through goodwill and mutual understanding between nations, and that the president issue an annual proclamation calling for the observance of Armistice Day. Well, by that time, 27 state legislators had made November 11th actually a legal holiday. An act approved May 13th, 1938, made November 11th a federal legal holiday, dedicated to the cause of world peace and to be hereafter celebrated, and known as Armistice Day. Well, then, of course, as most of our congressmen and senators actually do, well, guess what? They changed it again. So in 1954, after lobbying efforts by veterans, service organizations, and the 83rd U.S. Congress, gosh, I wish for those days back when Congress actually did the people's business, they amended the 1938 Act and made Armistice Day a holiday, striking the word armistice in favor of veterans. And guess what? President Dwight D. Eisenhower signed the legislation on June 1st, 1954. From then on, November 11th was the day to honor American veterans of all. Now, all the wars, not just one war. Now what happened? Hey, they gave this, there was a confounding of when this holiday fell. So what they did is they then made it, the next development in the story, quite frankly, was Veterans Day unfolded in 1968, when Congress actually passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which sought to ensure three-day weekends for federal employees, and they thought it would encourage tourism and travel by celebrating four national holidays. They did Washington's birthday, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and Columbus Day, and on Mondays. And now, of course, we celebrate it on Friday. Well, you know, things change, things happen. But I just want to give a shout out to the History Channel, and I want to thank them for everything. That was their work, not my work. That's their work. And I want to give them credit where credit is due. You know, unfortunately, in this country, sometimes we conflate Veterans Day with Memorial Day. It's a common misunderstanding, but we shouldn't do that. Veterans Day is for the celebration of veterans, both living and dead. Memorial Day is for honoring American servicemen that gave their lives. Getting any of this, people? You know, here's the problem in America. You know, as I sit here on this Veterans Day, and we would have had a fantastic veteran to talk to, who actually is a producer and owner of the station. But unfortunately, he had bats in his belfry or rats in the attic, one of the two, and is waiting to see what he's got. So, but today, Veterans Day, what does it mean? When we forget America, what does it used to stand for? What did America stand for? How is it saved? Is it worth saving America? Do we have the same values that we had when we were established as the founding fathers to treat all people equally? Do we have even that? Do we have those basic values? Do we have the values that we had in the 50s and the 60s, in the 80s, in the 90s, in the 2000s? Or do we just have a bunch of radical people running around yelling at each other, starting fights, killing 69-year-old people holding Israeli flags? Is America any time worth saving now? When a country falls from grace, is there anything left? When the society crumbles, what do? We seem to be falling apart at the seams. The youth in this country has been taught to hate this country. Now, where did all this radical stuff come from? Well, I'll tell you. It's very, very easy to see. radicalism started on campus when we put all the liberal radical people in charge. And guess what, folks? We don't even let conservatives onto campus anymore. When somebody wants to speak a conservative value, whatever happened to the compromise, the both sides, it's gone. America better wake up, and its universities better start. They're the problem. They are the beginning. They are the end, and they will be the end of this nation if we don't stop it. You want to have a die-in at Harvard? You want to have a die-in at Yale? Well, you're killing America right now. And quite frankly, when a president of the university gets up there and says, well, it's free speech. No, telling someone you're going to kill them is not free speech. And I'm going to talk about this in a little while, because apparently Rashida Tlaib conflates killing people, destroying a nation with, well, that's not really what it means. Well, you know what, Rashida? Then you need to leave the country. You want to go fight for the Palestinians? See ya. See ya. So, Joe, President Biden, I won't call you Joe because I don't know you formally. So, President Biden, let me ask you something. After 46 attacks on American facilities, he drops 4 bombs in the middle of a desert and hits a shed and an unmanned weapons depot, as if they didn't have any other weapons to use. This administration and Biden have no clue what the word deterrence means. They're zeroed out. They're zeroed out. They have no idea what deterrence means. And what I'm going to tell you is I'll start now, and in a few minutes we can take a break, give myself a little break. But hitting an empty shed in the middle of a bunch of knuckleheads in the desert with nobody around is not the way to go. So you know what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break right now. I want you to listen to the ads because they pay my salary. And stand by, and we'll be right back right after this.
Hey, folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday, 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember, folks, I'm not angry. I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
Veteran-owned, America's Web Radio would like to thank all of our incredible patrons. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. If you are not already a patron, you can help us continue to produce some of the most informative and entertaining shows on the internet by becoming a patron. Patrons of America's Web Radio are the first to receive information about new shows and links to the latest podcast episodes. Join now and receive a free gift while supplies last. For more information and to join our family, please visit www.patreon.com/AmericasWebRadio. If you have questions, contact us at gm@americaswebradio.com. And as always, thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the americasbroadcastnetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark, coming to you live. So, right before the break, I was talking about the 46 attacks, the Biden bomb, so to speak. So here we go. You attacked me 46 times, and I blow up a shed in the middle of the desert. A bunch of knuckleheads. Do you see the connection here? You cannot strike the head of the snake when you're not even in the same direction. I don't get this guy. I really don't. But you know what? Listen, they blew up and destroyed Afghanistan. We spent $2 trillion to replace the Taliban with the Taliban. $2 trillion. Do you know what kind of schools we could have for $2 trillion? I don't get it. And you know what? You really got to look at things, and you got to wonder whether or not you have a leader. And people are thinking of voting for this guy again? Holy moly. When you got Saudi Arabia shooting down missiles headed towards Israel instead of the U.S., we're standing by with all our ships. All we've done is made our ships and our military targets. Because we have not sent a message. And by the way, there went another $32 million of our American tax dollars on a Reaper drone that was shot down in international waters. But hey, we're okay with that, right? Well, let me tell you something. I don't think America needs Donald Trump back. I think the world needs Donald Trump back. Because you know what? The media doesn't want to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this right here now. Under Donald Trump, none of this would have ever happened. Russia wouldn't be in Ukraine. And by the way, I don't know what they're spinning out of that place, but you know what? It's at a stalemate, folks. And why is it at a stalemate? Because Russia has unlimited funds because oil and gas production in the United States is no more. We don't drill. We don't drill, baby, drill, as Trump said. You know what? We are a stupid country right now. We are thinking of voting for Joe Biden again. Do you think we can stand another 4 years of the turmoil in the world? The world is burning, people. It's not climate change. We're going to destroy each other under Joseph Biden. Okay? And God knows how much right now. I just saw checks from him to his brother with a loan. Hey, I want to reach out to my brother and ask him, could he lend me $200,000? And then I won't pay him back. So I'm not buying any of that stuff. But let's get back to the weather for a second. Yeah, you want deterrence? You want to make the storm clouds of war go away? You send a clear message to Iran. Don't think for a second these knuckleheads in the military, the same guys who were they were the architects of the Afghanistan withdrawal, or surrender as I call it. Okay? You gave up Bagram Air Base. You can't be this stupid, but you are. But you are. So, what did we do? We got to get tough. We have to send a clear message to the head of the snake, and that's Iran. Do what Trump did. Take a lesson out of his book. Listen, I don't like the way he delivers things. I don't like the way he talks about things. I don't like his brash personality. But his policies made the world a safer place. And if you think your kids are growing up in this world, we're all in trouble. And by the way, we're going to get to in a second. We're going to talk right now real quick about Trump and the kangaroo courthouse in Manhattan. Let me tell you something. This week on Monday, President Trump testified in a courtroom. First time in my career in 35 years that I've heard a judge, and it was reported, I wasn't there, that the judge actually told that the attorneys to sit down and shut up, and I don't want to hear what your client has to say. That's what a judge said. You want a bigger kangaroo court? This is it. And then you have a Letitia James, the persecutor in chief, the attorney general of New York, who ran on one of the most egregious acts I've ever seen by saying that she's going to get Trump. She hadn't seen a thing, not a document, not anything. But that's New York. Welcome to the blue, stupid state. I've seen things done under the guise of political hatred that I never thought in my lifetime I would see the legal system used for. When I grew up as a young attorney, I had passion for the law, passionate about the effective prosecution of guilty people who were charged. When people have no sense of a reality in the justice system, we're third party, we're third world, we're a banana republic. This American judicial system right now in New York, and by the way, it's coming to Georgia too, it's taking away the client privileges. It's taking away the client attorney privileges. It's silencing clients from speaking about their case while all others are free to trash him. Just because he is Donald Trump doesn't mean that he's not entitled to judicial protection. And this is embarrassing. Quite frankly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. The fact that the judge showed such hatred towards Trump before this. Yes, he's the defendant in the case. This was a politically motivated case. There has never been a prosecution in New York about a fraud, this type of case under this statute without a victim. No bank testified that they were hurt in any manner. No one was hurt. But hey, she's fulfilling her dream of going to be governor of New York. Yeah, okay. So the judge is throwing spaz out already. I mean, listen, this is a judicial circus. This is embarrassing to judicial system in the United States. It's completely embarrassing. The way this judge is treating Trump, I'm sorry, this is a matter of judicial misconduct. And I don't say that lightly because I have a lot of respect for judges. Not anymore. Not when I see such aberrant conduct by judges. But because you know what? Because he's a Republican, because he's running for president again, this is what you do? No, you don't do this. And let me just tell you something. For all you guys who are cheering, you know, the fact that he's now going to jail, guess what? When this goes to the appellate division, folks, there have been so many egregious errors in law that this case is going to be tossed. Much like the rest of America, in the world. We've fallen from grace, and so has this judicial system under this judge. Now, let me get to something that's important here. The border is no more. Biden has completely opened up the door. This border invasion continues, and the Israeli war is out of control. Ukrainian war is out of control, and as a stalemate. It's a stalemate, folks. Don't let them spin it for you. Yeah, $114 billion, $160 billion, $200 billion. Guess what? They're not going anywhere. Why? Because Russia is on the other side. You need to stop now. And I'm not saying give territory from Ukraine to Russia, but you know what? When Russia can't afford the war, they'll stop. But keep giving them gas at $80, $90 a barrel, $100 a barrel, because we're not drilling and we're not getting our oil and gas out to the market. You're funding the war. We're funding both sides. I said it last week. You know, we didn't see at the border. We didn't see 9/11. 19 people came in and overstayed. They were here illegally. And look what they did. They took down more than two towers. But I am telling you, there's about 6,000 people. About 3,000 died that day, and many, many more died of the poison gas that was coming and emanating from that building. Brought to you by the same government that said, yeah, the air's clean, don't worry about it. So we better wake up. We are on the precipice of several terrorist strikes in this country. And if you think it's not going to happen, then you're a Biden supporter. And you know what? You're completely clueless to the reality of the situation. They play the long game, the terrorists. They don't play the short game. And when Christopher Wray gets up and testifies before Congress, we know that we have terrorist cells. We know where they are. Well, damn it, go get them then. But you don't. You can say that. It sounds good, but you don't. And here's another thing that really irked the crap out of me this week. You have a guy like Mayorkas who was asked a very simple question. How many terrorists of the 196 that were on our terrorist watch list are in this country? And guess what? He said, the Border Patrol is a complex situation and we have... Listen, that was not the question. Answer the question. But you know what? He never did and he never will because he doesn't have a clue. He let them all in. And you think all those known gotaways? You think, what about the unknown gotaways? We don't even have numbers. 7.5, 8.5, 9.5 million people. If just 0.001% of those are terrorists, we're in for a real shock, America. You know what? Lincoln was right. The only thing that could destroy America, it couldn't be offshore, it would be from within. And we certainly let them all in. You know, the entire world has basically become stupid. Or have we always just been a bunch of idiots? I hear the leaders of these Arab countries and of Turkey saying, how can Israel justify the defense of their war as a defensive war? But when they're killing 3,000 people, well, let me explain to you, and I'll do it in English because that's my native language. You are a bunch of imbeciles. You are clueless as the world sat back on October 7th and watched a slaughter of babies in the most horrific manner, including burning them alive, cutting the babies out of mothers' stomachs, and yes, do me a favor, stop blurring the pictures and the images. Let the American people see the atrocity. Let the American people see the horror. Let the American people see that. Because you know what? They don't blur the images of dead people on the Arab countries, on their media, on their TVs, because it infuriates the population. Well, you know what? It's time to infuriate America. We have imbeciles running around our campuses that deny that this even happened. And you know what? The other day, Gal Gadot, who is a phenomenal actress, she played Wonder Woman. She is an Israeli. Actually, she served, I heard, 2 years in the Israeli military. She did a screening of what happened and what was seen from the Hamas cameras themselves and from the Israeli soldiers that first went in there. And I got to tell you something. I have not seen that, and I've looked for it all over the internet. And guess what? It's been scrubbed. Yeah, it's been scrubbed, people. Why? Because it's horrific. And let's stop blurring the images. Let the American people see the horrific nature of what these inhumane people, Hamas, did. And I don't even want to call them people. They're animals. And what do you do when you have a rabid animal coming at you? You take it out. You don't say, oh, let's give it 3 days to make some more weapons, to make some more IEDs. Let's place some more IEDs while the IDF stands there. No, no, I'm sorry. You want a ceasefire? Why are people so stupid in this country? And why are our leaders dumber? We sent them there, I know. I know, we sent them there. You want a ceasefire? You want a couple hours ceasefire? Let the hostages go. Hey, there's a novel idea. Hey, UN, as in United Idiots. Why don't you call for the hostages to be released immediately? What's that? Oh, no, we don't do that. Why? Because we're dumb. Because we're imbeciles. Because the society crumbles and we're helping it along. You know, and I got to tell you, I've been lied to a lot of people through the years as an attorney. You know, people always lie to you. You get up there, you start cross-examining them, you take them piece by piece apart, and then they finally collapse. Okay? So here you go. We need to stop blurring these images. And you know what? They are people on our campuses or our professors in college, like the one in Cornell, that was elated on October 7th when babies were beheaded and they were disemboweled, they were disembodied, they were dismembered. He was elated. You know what I'd do? I'd pack that guy up in about 5 minutes and throw him off. And what did Cornell do? They put him on administrative leave. What the heck is that? If you have somebody like that on your campus teaching children, this is an Ivy League school. This is not some radical Hamas school. Okay? And by the way, if you ever read the Quran, it's not the violent Hamas version. So take that and stick it in your hat. Okay? But you know what? Rashida Tlaib, she is a treasonous imbecile. And I don't say those words lightly. Okay? You're so happy for Palestine, lady. Take a hike. Get out of our country. I'm calling for her to be thrown out of this country because people like her are violent. You want to talk about violence incitement? Okay? She is inciting violence against all Jewish people all over the world. Anyone who sides with her is inciting violence. Why aren't they under arrest? This is an attack on America and its ally Israel. Tlaib, Omar, Presley, Cori Bush, that Looney Tune, and the infamous AOC. All hate America. And they don't belong in Congress. You put them there, but they don't belong in Congress. So when Rashida Tlaib comes out and tells us, after she's been calling for this at the top of the steps with her crocodile tears, I didn't hear one sentence out of her, I'll keep it clean, her mouth, her brainless mouth, that she felt sorry for the Israelis who were dismembered and attacked in their homes. Well, you know what, lady? Let me tell you something, Tlaib. From the river to the sea, this is a call to genocide to wipe out Israel. You can backspin it any way you want, but you moron, that's what it means. And if you don't understand that, get the heck out of Congress now. So stop peddling the incitement of violence. Where's the FBI? Where's the investigation? Where's the strike teams and the SWAT teams busting in down her doors? And if she is in any kind of confidential congressional information where she's getting information about the status of Israel and what they're doing, you people in Congress are dumber than I think and know you are. Because she and her squad members who side with Hamas, the deadly Hamas who killed babies, pregnant women, grandmothers, slaughtered people at a peace conference, piled up dead bodies. When you side with her, you side with the killers. And you don't deserve. She should be taken out of any security meetings and any briefings. But once again, the Congress, and this is so stupid. I'm talking about the same person who has a Palestinian flag outside her office, along with the gay pride flag. Well, let me educate this moron, Tlaib, on what that means. Does she have any clue what the Palestinians would do with the LGBTQ plus whatever conference? They would teach him how to fly by throwing him off buildings because they do not accept that. But she's too dumb to even understand that. She's just pathetically stupid. She clearly doesn't understand basic humanity. The basics of inhumanity of Hamas. The basic brutality of what they did on October 7th. She clearly doesn't understand the relationship. She's a simpleton. She is a simpleton. Simply put, the Palestinians and the gay pride movement don't go in the same cup of soup, folks. You know, once you put those two flags together, you're clearly too dumb to be in Congress for me. She's comprehensively stupid. And as a member of Congress, you are an embarrassment to America. And with your Injustice Squad members, and by the way, folks, Lincoln was a Republican and Rashida Tlaib is a Democrat. And lately, Democrat stands for Demolish America. And let me tell you another thing. From this White House, this brainless flopsy-mopsy Karine Jean-Pierre, she herself has become the symbol of dumb. She's the liar-in-chief now. She's now taken that job. Well, all right, I'll give her and John Kirby the same. She kind of, sort of, through ripping down posters of people, said, well, that's nonviolent. Well, let me tell you something. If I come to your house and rip your wallpaper off your wall, that's not nonviolence, is it? If I come to you and rip your clothes off you and burn you alive, is that nonviolence? If I come rip your clothes off and rape you and then burn your body, is that nonviolence? Well, apparently to Flopsy Mopsy it is. Democrats, you have a problem in your party. This is your progressive left. You're dragging your party all the way down, and you're trying to drag America with it. And why, for one, don't want to follow you progressive lefties to the destruction of America? It's the Demolish America. That's your party. And let me tell you something. If this was a rally about transgenderism and somebody went and started ripping down posters and whatnot, they'd be done. And how about a KKK rally in the middle of, oh, I don't know, Mississippi? How about, oh, I don't know, how about we come to New York City and have a KKK rally in the middle of Times Square calling for the death of all the African Americans in America? Do you not think people would be arrested? People, wake up. Wake up. You know what? And quite frankly, I'm blaming the Republicans also, because you know what? This week, November 7th, you got your butts kicked again. And here's the last nail in the coffin. Why would you have your debate on NBC moderated by Democrats that pushed and continued the lie about Trump for 4 years being a Russian agent when they knew that Hillary Clinton committed this offense? But no one's ever been charged. They're still investigating. Oh, boy, can they investigate, huh? It's amazing how they can bring things against Trump in about 20 minutes. But, hey, for Hunter Biden and all these people who started this. Now, where's the investigations against Tlaib for inciting violence when she's out there yelling, kill Israel, kill Jews? Where is that? Okay? And listen, Republicans, and I said this again and again and again, you better listen to Nikki Haley when she tells you what to do on the abortion issue, because you're going to get your butts kicked again. You know, that red wave that was supposed to be here, it was a nothing. It wasn't even a rainstorm. And the red giant wave that was supposed to be here November 7th, you know, we're going to flip. Youngkin said we're going to flip and take control. Listen, that issue is a thorn in the side of America. Okay? America wants the right to abortion. I am not in favor of abortion. Okay? Am I a pro-life guy? Well, you know what? I believe that people should have a choice. It's their personal choice between them and their doctor. But you know what? Yeah, I do think at some point at 9 months when a baby pops out and they say, well, we'll keep it comfortable until the mother decides, that's wrong. That's a person. But you know what? 15, 20, 30 weeks, that first trimester, there's got to be a reasonable solution. There's enough medical idiots out there to come to a consensus. And basically, let me tell you something. As a person who votes and has voted since I had the ability to do so, and that's many years from now, I want the person to go to Washington or wherever else they're going and represent me, not their own personal beliefs. Get it through your thick heads, Republicans, or you're going to get clobbered on every occasion. You represent the people, not your own interests. And if abortion is what the people want, and with certain limits and with reasonable limits, then that's what you have to do. You took on that job. You said that's what we want to do. Your personal views should not be taken into consideration. They take a back seat. Why? Because that's what America is. You represent us. It's a representative democratic republic. So back to the 46. and our Reaper drone that just got shot down. Oh, what did Joe Biden do? Nothing. Why? Because he's an impotent. He's impotent and incompetent. And if you want to vote for him again, welcome to the new China and Russia alliance with North Korea and maybe a helping of a couple of other countries. Iran is going to jump in. If you're going to be an idiot and you're going to be in charge of the military, then pull our military out of the Middle East and stop making them targets. We really need a commander-in-chief with a brainstem who can respond and understand what deterrence means. Because obviously this administration has no clue what deterrence means. And you know what? I'm sorry. I've been hearing now that Israel has agreed to a 3 or 4 hour pause in the war. No, there is no pause without the release of the hostages. When did we start negotiating with hostage takers? And by the way, let me remind America that they still have 10 or 12 of our hostages and they killed 30 Americans. And what was our response? Oh, that's right. Silence. You just heard it here first on Bite of Reality. Release the 241 hostages tomorrow, and I'll bet the IDF says, okay, pause time. But that's not the point. Don't be useful idiots like AOC, Presley, Omar, Cori Bush, that wacko, Tlaib. Don't be a useful idiot, America. Don't fall into Hamas's hands. This is what they want. They want that pause. Why would you spend hundreds of millions of dollars building underground tunnels? Why not make the people on top? Why not make them beautiful schools? Why not make them beautiful roadways and beautiful buildings and change their lives? It's because they are not with the Palestinians. We got to stop lumping Hamas in with Palestinians. Hamas is a deadly virus. It is a defective thinking group of people. And if you didn't understand that, listen, the son of one of the Hamas leaders was on, I think, with Sean Hannity yesterday. I saw a clip of it. And he said they want nothing for the Palestinian people. They want to kill Israel. They want Israel off the map. End of story. And you know why they struck now? Because they were coming to another agreement with another Arab country. Because you know what? Some of the Arab countries, most of them have come to the ability and to say, you know what? They're going to be here. We might as well get along and be productive. We might as well become an economic power and friend. But you know what? That's not what the violent left, radical Hamas brutality supporters want. Why are these people not being treated like the January 6th, the insurrectionists? How come? You know, Thursday in Los Angeles, the news is reporting a brawl broke out outside the screening, and I said this earlier, by Gal Gadot, the most famous actress from Israel. She showed an unedited screening, it was about 43 minutes, I understand, of the video taken by Hamas of the terrorist attack and the brutality. So let me ask you something. If this was a conservative KKK group or a white supremacist group who showed up, who started the fight outside the liberals, let's say it. It was a lesbian gang or whatever. What do you think would happen? Or a black African-American event. What do you think would happen? They'd all be arrested. But because it's Jewish? Because it's an attack on Jews? This is allowed? Nobody gets arrested? Listen, folks, we have a real problem in this country, and we better deal with it now. It's anti-Semitism. It's anti-persons. Los Angeles is a disgrace. It's a crime-ridden city to begin with. It's under Democratic control. We're all in trouble. We are all in trouble. What if it's a black screening of something? What if it's a transgender LGBT? By the way, where is the manifesto from the coveted transgender shooting? Huh? Still haven't seen that, huh? Well, I haven't forgotten about it. I'm still calling for it. Where is it? If you're siding with Hamas, like Rashida Tlaib, you're mentally defective. There's something defective in you. And I'm talking about the Democrats. I'm talking about the imbeciles like Rashida Tlaib. They're inciting violence, actually doing so. Yet, by the way, nobody's chasing down their door. Nobody's busting down and SWAT teams aren't showing up at her house. And she's not been taken out of Congress. Where's the SWAT teams crashing down her door like they did Donald Trump? And what about the other people? While, quite frankly, I think you know what the reason is. What the reason is. Everybody, this is a bad scenario for democracy. I don't know if many of you remember the pro-life father that was arrested by a SWAT team at his house because he prayed outside an abortion clinic. This country is going so far left, it's going off the map. And it's our college and our campuses that need to be disinfected straight away. Why is it the education secretary finally put out a statement? Cardona says, well, better late than never. Late to the game again. This is exactly the demonstration. Oh, and by the way, since we're talking about Palestine, has Joe Biden gone to Palestine, Ohio? No, he has not. Well, let me tell you something. This is a statement to colleges out there. Wake up, stamp it out, get it off your campus. You know what? I've represented people who have done things on campus, and you know what? They immediately threw them off. They threw them out of their campus because that type of behavior, that type of conduct, assaulting other students, is unacceptable anywhere. And on our campuses, it should absolutely be dealt with swiftly and severely, because otherwise, you're going to have the Rashida Tlaibs of the world. And by the way, if you don't believe me, take a look at an article written by Sabrina Maddo. It's S-A-B-R-I-N-A, Maddo, M-A-D-D-E-A-U-X, published November 6, 2023, from Canada. You need to look at that. I wish we had 2 hours for this show today, but I got to tell you, she gives a blow-by-blow event of what she saw for the 43 minutes at that screening. So let me give you a quick rundown. I know we're coming to the end. Last night, or actually was it Wednesday, I think, the debates. Christie, again, just that I hate Trump guy. Tim Scott, too nice a guy. Vivek Ramaswamy, too direct, needs more statesmanship. Ron DeSantis, right messages, but no fire in the belly. Nikki Haley, she finally solved the abortion issue. Let her be there. Okay? John Kirby, another useless idiot. Delaware Senator Chris Coons, get in touch with reality, please. And Joe Manchin, thank you. Thank you for getting out of there. All right? As Joe Biden hides, why keep having debates? Stop the debates, Republicans, and welcome to the new China-Russia alliance. Well, this is going to be America Web Radio, Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark signing off for 1 week. And I hope you learned something today. I hope I gave you some answers. And I really appreciate you listening. So it's goodbye now from America's Web Radio with Bite of Reality and Mark the Shark. Have a great week.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.